This program is brought to you from the Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. Wisconsin's Department of Transportation Secretary Craig Thompson is leading the agency during a time of tremendous change. Wisconsinites' commuting patterns have changed dramatically throughout the pandemic. Gas tax revenues declining sharply, and the state's preparing for an era of autonomous and electric vehicles. Meanwhile, the secretary is looking for approval for his plan to spend a historic amount of federal infrastructure dollars, right?
Yes.
Thank you for joining us, Secretary Thompson.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
Very busy time for you these days.
It is.
Was it last month the federal government finally appropriated those funds from the bipartisan infrastructure law? What, $5 billion coming to Wisconsin over 5 years? And then there's this short time frame to kind of obligate those funds. Is that right?
It is. So the president signed the bill into law back in November, but at the federal level, as you just alluded to, they still have to appropriate the funds. And so they passed a series of short-term extensions, and then finally in mid-March did appropriate the funds, really as part of the whole Ukraine package and other things they put together. So we're getting the money a little late, and then we have a process here, which I think we're going to talk about, that when federal dollars are different than what was anticipated when the budget passed, that we're required to submit a federal plan to the Joint Committee on Finance. So while we're getting the dollars a little bit late, the same rules, they have not made any amendment to the rules that when you get federal dollars in a given year, you have to obligate those within that federal fiscal year, which is September 30th. So us getting these dollars late makes that a pretty tight time frame.
You mentioned the legislature's Joint Finance Committee that has to approve this plan. That hearing is happening as we're talking. It's happening tomorrow, the 26th. What sort of message will your department have for the Finance Committee tomorrow?
Well, we're looking at the amount of dollars for this first federal fiscal year of that five-year period that you talked about that we're proposing how to spend those dollars. There's both the formula funds that we're getting, and then there is a new program that they created called the Special Bridge Program. For the formula funds, we're proposing to split it up, a little over half of that going to the local governments, a little less than half of it going to the state for our state highway rehabilitation program. And then for this new bridge money, which is about $45 million a year for the next 5 years, $225 million over the 5 years, we're actually proposing of 100% of that going to the locals because we believe that's really where the most pervasive bridge needs are. They've got about 9,000 bridges on their system, or about 63%. We've got about 6,000 bridges on our system, or about 37%. And 10% of theirs are in poor condition and only about 2% of ours. So we really believe that directing 100% of that money towards fixing those bridges when they're weight restricted and others at the local level makes a lot of sense. So that's kind of in a broad shell what our proposal is to the legislature.
So what are some of the real highlights of the plan? Is it the $124 million in the state highway funds, would you say?
I would say, I mean, that's where the biggest amount of money is. That's our formula dollars. And those are the ones we have to, both the money that we plan to spend, we have to have obligated by September 30th, as well as the money that we're proposing that go to the locals that they have to be obligated by September 30th. And that's where the heavy lift really comes in. We're in a position now at the state level. We've got projects ready to go that we can assign these dollars to. But generally, the locals don't have those programs we call on a shelf. So we're doing everything we can to make sure that they get ready, that they can expend those dollars. The separate bridge money, they've got more time. We've got 4 years to expend that. So we're quite confident we'll be able to get that where it needs to go.
You keep mentioning the September 30th deadline, and in your letter to the legislature in preparation for this hearing tomorrow about the plan, you express that it's important to note majority of federal funding in the plan must be obligated by September 30th or will be lost. Failure to obligate the funds by September 30th will make the state ineligible for redistribution funding. Funding available for redistribution could reach a record high in FY 2022. So it's kind of on the table for us to use. Is that correct?
That's correct. And we've been very successful the last couple of years, including during the pandemic. We were very proud. We kept all of our projects going. We didn't delay any lets or cancel any. There's other states that were unable to do that. And so we fared well in redistribution where the federal government goes, and for states that have been unable to obligate, they redistribute it to states that have been able to. So we've received over $100 million in the last 2 years from the federal government. for that, and we want to make sure that with this tightened time frame, we're able to obligate all those dollars. So we took that time period from when the president signed the bill in November to when this was obligated in March to really reach out. The local governments have been tremendous partners. They really helped us craft this proposal. But we've been communicating with them as much as we can about the projects they have to have ready to go. And we said that if we get to August and when the plans have to be approved, if they're unable to expend all those dollars, depending on what the Joint Committee on Finance approves, then we probably will take that remainder and place them on state projects so that we don't lose any federal dollars.
So this plan has the potential to really support projects all across the state. So does that mean, do you feel like there's support in the Joint Finance Committee? Are you expecting support tomorrow?
So we went and met with pretty much every member of the Joint Committee on Finance. They all had very thoughtful questions, all looking out for, obviously, their district and their locals and their state projects. And they were all very good conversations. So I don't want to predict, that's not my place to say, but I think there was a lot on the broad issues. It seemed like we were roughly on the same page.
Any hard questions expected?
You know, we had questions. We were proposing to put some money into the congestion mitigation and air quality program, about $4.8 million. That's probably where we received the most questions. Whether that means that they'll make changes to that or not, I don't know. But we did receive a lot of questions on that. That's a program for the counties that are in the non-attainment areas that they can use for congestion mitigation, whether it's synchronizing lights more, whether it's using it for some transit-type services. There's all kinds of different uses for that the counties choose themselves and put forward. And those counties in largely the southeastern part of the state have utilized those dollars before. But there were questions regarding that program.
So we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Exactly.
You mentioned that there's this intention in the plan to kind of split the monies between state projects, local projects, and locals seem like they're very eager to get those funds. You were on a panel last year with some local officials. We want to hear now from what NENA Mayor Dean Crawford had to say at the time about these funds.
There's no question that the need to reinvest in infrastructure is real, because I'm here to tell you, from a local community standpoint, we're falling behind, and our roads are crumbling, our bridges need attention. The potholes get bigger each and every year. People notice that, you know, we spend here in a community of 26,000 people, we spend about $6 million a year on roads and redoing roads and reconstruction and resurfacing, and it's not enough. Each and every year we're falling behind. So
in its 2020 report card, the Wisconsin Society of Civil Engineers gave Wisconsin an overall grade of C for its infrastructure, a D-plus for roads. What grade do you give for Wisconsin's infrastructure?
I'm not sure I'm going to hand out a grade right now, but it's clear that we went decades in Wisconsin without adjusting the revenue and without getting the revenue, the resources to our locals to keep up with their roads and investing at the state level. So when the governor in the very first budget, we were able to finally reach agreement on transportation revenue for the first time really in a generation, we've been plowing that back into really fixing what we have first. Almost all of the $467 million biennial increase we got in that budget and the $200 million in the subsequent budget has gone either into the State Highway Rehabilitation Program, which is really rehabilitating our current two-lane state highways, or has been shared with the locals to fix their roads. So our pavement vans that go out and measure the quality of the roads were delayed a little bit during the pandemic. They'll be out doing that again, but we believe we've at least stopped the decline in the conditions of the roads, and we believe we'll start to see an uptick in the conditions. But after that many, you know, really decades of disinvestment, it's not going to all get fixed overnight.
So with all this new federal money coming into Wisconsin, what's a key infrastructure change that a typical Wisconsinite might notice in a few years, would you say?
I think the number one, that we'll have some big projects that will be going on that we can talk about, but I would say the number one thing that people will notice is simply that the roads they're driving are in better condition than they used to be.
That's good news for a lot of people across Wisconsin. So another key thing to remember about this big chunk of federal funding that people are talking about is it's one time. So we have the money to spend for 5 years. What happens after that 5 years? Are you concerned?
Well, I mean, on one hand, 5 years gives us 5 years of certainty, which is pretty good. When the federal government passes reauthorizations, it's generally been for five-year periods. But what makes this a little bit less known is when the federal government passed this, they didn't adjust any revenue stream to be ongoing. It really came out of their general fund. So it's certainty for 5 years, but when we get to the end of that five, there's going to be a lot of questions about how do we sustain that and how do we fund this moving forward? Because traditionally at the federal level and the state level, we've funded transportation through what we call user fees, which has generally been the gasoline tax. That hasn't been adjusted at the federal level since 1992. We haven't adjusted it here in quite a while, and not sure there's as much appetite to anymore because greater fuel efficiency and more electric vehicles. So it doesn't have the same user fee quality necessarily that it had since the 1950s up until recently.
Well, let's talk about that gas tax. All right, I'm sure you're being asked a lot about this. The state has been talking for a while about kind of the urgent need to change the way we fund transportation because, as you said, the gas tax is the largest source of revenue for our transportation in Wisconsin. Taxes at, 30.9 cents per gallon hasn't increased in Wisconsin since 2006. You mentioned cars more fuel efficient, people starting to buy electric vehicles, motorists purchased about, from the Fiscal Bureau, 82.7 fewer gallons of gas in 2021 than they did in 2006. So how do we move forward if this is the way that we fund transportation?
Well, again, you know, the gas tax had been a surrogate for usage. Generally, everybody drove a gasoline vehicle, so the more you drove, the more you paid in gas tax. For all the things you just cited, these conversations are going on across the country here in Wisconsin, and I think there's a couple. The first fundamental question that we'll have to ask is, do we still think that we should fund transportation via a user fee? You could make the argument you just end up funding it out of the general fund like you fund schools and Medicaid and Medicare.
And it's competing for all those
things. And it could be competing for all those things. But if we still think that a user fee is a better idea, that it's a segregated separate fund, then we'll have to decide, with the gas tax not being that great surrogate for usage anymore, what would that user fee be? It could be charging by vehicle miles traveled. Now, there's some privacy concerns about that if you do it via a transponder. You could do it with a less technological way. You could do more tolling. You know, those are generally some of the ways. If we're driving more electric vehicles, some have looked at if there could be some sort of surcharge on that electric bill or charge. But, you know, those would be looking at more trying to keep the user fee connection, or you just break with that completely and fund it out of the general fund. I think those are really the fundamental questions.
You mentioned tolling as an option to fund transportation. Wisconsin's also been talking a lot about what that might look like. Here's what Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley had to say about that back in February.
You think about Wisconsin, we don't have it. You know, and so it's going to take a lot of education on how we even get there. And I think that, you know, it is a concept that has been talked about because we got to stay ahead of this curve when it comes down to, you know, transportation in general. The tolling piece, I think everybody's afraid of what that may look like because, you know, my question is, do you just put it between Milwaukee and Chicago? Do you just put it between Milwaukee and Madison? And, you know, and so we have to have a real dialogue about what this really looks like so we're not penalizing, you know, folks who are literally just going to work every day all the time. This is a conversation, particularly as counties, we need to be bringing to the state legislature to make sure that we're being equitable on how we're doing tolling.
What are your thoughts on tolling in Wisconsin? That would be a pretty big change.
It would be a pretty big change. And right now, it's still, it's sort of confusing at the federal level. You could, if you're a state like Wisconsin that doesn't, you know, Illinois got in early and there was some dispensation for them and others. Right now, for other states, you could apply for sort of a pilot to do tolling. You could toll right now if you add existing lane, you could toll that lane, or you can toll bridges. But right now, we couldn't even, without some change in federal law, we couldn't just go toll all of our interstates or anything like that, Wisconsin, even if we wanted to. But then if you get into the policy decisions like the county executive's talking about and you are, you know, that's a lot of conversations that would have to be had. You could talk about congestion pricing, time of day, all of that, but you have to look at the equity issues for people that are traveling there. That has been looked at. There are ways to deal with that in other states, but it would be a much different conversation here in Wisconsin, and we'd have to look at how that would work.
Do you have a favorite option for funding transportation into the future? Which direction do you think we should go?
Well, I think if you're going to stick with a user fee, finding some way to charge by vehicle miles traveled is probably the most pure user fee that you can look at. And you know, I know some people have said, well, if I live in a rural area or a more remote area, then I'm going to, you know, it's going to penalize me more. And I think if you look at right now, the way we charge via gas tax, you're paying more if you're driving further. And it would depend on where you set that vehicle mile fee up. There's a lot, there's, depending on where it's at, there's studies out there that show if you're driving an F-150 right now and you live out, you know, more rural area on a farm, you could end up paying less, really, under the vehicle mile traveled fee than you do under the gas tax. It all depends on how you set it up. But I think that would probably be the most pure way of funding it via user fee.
How quickly do we need to figure this out? Things seem to be changing pretty rapidly in transportation.
Well, I think at the federal level, you know, once this five-year reauthorization is up, they could either choose again to general fund an amount after that, and if not, then I think we have to figure it out by that time. At the state level here, depending on what rapidly we more electric vehicles are introduced and better gas mileage, you know, we're going to continue to erode at that fund, and so you know, the sooner we figure that out, the better it'll be from a financial standpoint.
Can we expect to see some sort of proposal related to this in your next state agency budget request?
You know, I don't know that we're going to be looking at something that transformational in the next budget request. We still have to sit down and go over that within the department and talk with the governor's office about priorities for that next budget request.
Okay. The federal infrastructure law also includes about $79 million over that 5 years to support the expansion of electric vehicle or EV infrastructure. The popularity of electric vehicles is certainly growing in the state. Data from your agency shows there were 6,100 electric vehicles at the end of calendar year 2020, 7,500 electric vehicles by just July of 2021, and that's about an increase of 156% since 2018. Does Wisconsin have the electric vehicle infrastructure that we need to kind of keep up with this increase in popularity?
As of speaking today, no. And even if you look at the current trend of popularity, I think by even more conservative way of looking at it's going to increase a lot more than that. The major automobile manufacturers have, you know, they've made their decision. They're retooling. GM says by 2035, their entire fleet's going to be electric. There's other auto dealers of that are in the similar area. So we're still going to have a lot of the gas-powered cars on the road that are out there today, but we're going to have a significant increase in electric vehicles, and no, we are not equipped for it right now. So this money that's coming in from the federal government, we have to submit a plan by August on how we would expend those dollars, and we have to really demonstrate along our alternative fuel corridors, which are generally our interstates, 151 and a couple others, that we would be able to have charging facilities no more than every 50 miles along those corridors, no more than a mile off of the exit, so that people would have the confidence and wouldn't have what they call range anxiety that you get out to an area where you're going to run out of a charge.
How does this dramatic increase in popularity of EV in Wisconsin impact, again, that way that we fund transportation? Does that create some inequities with some people paying for our roads and some people not?
Well, I think right now there is a higher registration fee on electric vehicles, but generally you're going to have people that are filling up their car right now with gas paying more of the usage than people that aren't still.
So last week, Governor Evers introduced his first clean energy plan, and we hear a lot about how transportation contributes to carbon emissions. About a quarter of the state's carbon emissions are through transportation. Here we're investing all this new money in roads. How does your agency fit into the clean energy plan?
Well, as you said, it is a major contributor. And some of this federal money coming in, we've got a carbon reduction money that we were going to be looking at working with our locals on. Most of the new money that we're talking about is really fixing what we currently have. And I think as we transition to electric, we're going to see a lot more reduction in emissions through that as well.
Talking about different changes, since the pandemic, we've seen some changes in the way that people commute and traffic patterns. Just this month, the Wisconsin Policy Forum issued a report talking about this, saying that comparing average daily traffic over the last year from April 2021 to March 22 to traffic in the year before the pandemic. Weekday traffic is down about 4.4%, and the report concludes that's because people just aren't commuting to work in the same way that they were before the pandemic. Ridership on Wisconsin's major transit systems also declined pretty significantly. Do you think that these trends will continue? Will they get back to pre-pandemic? How does that affect your planning?
Well, we're looking at it very closely as it affects planning. What we saw during the height of the pandemic in that first April of 20 versus 19, we were down about 40% traffic. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was during that period that we were significantly down. By the time of December 2020, we were down about 10%. And now when we're looking at the first January, February of this month, we're back to pretty much truck traffic is above pre-pandemic levels. Vehicular traffic is about right at it, but it's not as high during the peak times as it was. Drive time in the morning and drive time in the afternoon, it's been a little higher in the afternoon and along some of the corridors where there's more tourism and a lot of that going on. It's actually been higher than pre-pandemic levels. So there's been a shift in that. Some of that's probably going to flatten out a little bit, but we know there's more teleworking that's going to be staying going on. So we're trying to really continue to monitor this and watch this and see what it might mean for our planning moving forward.
What about those changes in transit ridership? Do you think that's a trend that people will come back to pre-pandemic levels?
I think so. I think, obviously people are very concerned about getting in tight quarters, whether it's on a bus or on a train. But I think we're seeing it start to come back. And I think as we get out of this pandemic, I would fully expect that to bounce back at least to pre-pandemic levels, if not increase.
So we've talked a lot about the federal monies for our road infrastructure. What about the federal funds for transit infrastructure?
So there's also federal money in this package for transit, about a 30% increase for what the transit agencies would see in that year one, and then 2% each year for the following after that. So significant increase. Those dollars for our larger transit agencies, Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Appleton, flows directly from the federal government to them. For all the others, it flows to us at the DOT, and then we would distribute that through our normal formula process to the other transit agencies across the state.
In the last state budget, the Republican legislature cut state funding for transit programs in half in Milwaukee and Madison, saying that, they would be receiving federal funds, and that would make up for the state fund loss. Some transit systems concerned that maybe that with these new additional federal dollars that the same thing might happen, that the legislature might decide to pull back state funds. Are you concerned about that?
I am. If you talk to, despite the fact of people that need to be able to, it's their only method to get around, whether it's choice or people with disabilities or aging or whatever that might be. But in addition to that, our employers across tell us that transit is a very important connector for getting people connected to jobs. And so, while ridership may have been down during this pandemic period, we tried to increase funding for transit in our first budget by about 10%. It got reduced to 2%. We proposed 5% in the next one, and it got reduced to 0. And then there was that cut to specifically Milwaukee and Madison. And while they did receive increased federal dollars during the pandemic, their fares were, completely down. And that really helped fill in some of that. And we think it's just a very smart component moving forward to have robust transit so that people have options so that we can connect people to jobs moving forward.
Data from your agency says 31% of the state population are non-drivers. You've done something that, speaking of transit, you've done something that no other secretary of the Department of Transportation has, and really focused on these non-drivers. Tell us about the new non-driver advisory committee.
Well, we received a lot of great input from a lot of our stakeholders about that. So we formed what we call our non-driver advisory committee, and it's got a lot of users of the system. It's got folks from our Department of Transportation. We've got elected officials on there, and it really is trying to look at and hear from people that use the system every day, what challenges, what hurdles that they're encountering, and how can we solve some of those things. And I think we've gotten some really, really good tangible recommendations from the group, and we're excited for the group to continue informing the decisions that we make.
What do you see as next steps for that kind of non-driver movement then?
Well, you know, one of the tangible outcomes for that is that we've helped develop an app so that people can realize where their options are and those things. So there's a lot of very specific non-budgetary, non-dollar requests that have come out of that we're working with our locals that we can improve access and marketing and availability and communication. And then there's also recommendations on the budget side, which I think will definitely inform the budget proposal that we submit to the governor later on this year.
What are your thoughts currently on kind of the ratio between the state's investment in highway and road infrastructure maintenance versus investment in, say, transit and other non-driver alternative forms of transportation?
You know, we've been really, I think, excited about the fact that we've come to agreement with the legislature on a lot of the really big picture transportation issues when it pertains to roads and bridges over the last several years. Where we really haven't had that same level of agreement is over transit. And I think there is a disparity between the two. If we look at other states, whether red or blue, I think a lot of those states, whether it's at the local level through regional funding sources or at the state level, do invest more in their transit systems than we do here. And I think we do have a discrepancy here that we do need to fix.
When you had your confirmation hearing in the Senate committee in the legislature last March, Republican committee chair Senator Petrowski listed, you know, dozens of letters of support that you had, and he gave you some really high praise about building trust with the really wide group of stakeholders that you have in transportation. That seems kind of unique in this hyper-partisan environment. Have you been intentional about trying to build those relationships?
You know, I've tried to. Our local government partners, like I said, in putting together this plan, have been just exceptional partners. We've brought them in early. We've talked to them. And I will say the legislators have been very, very good to work with. We've tried to be as transparent as we can about what we're doing. And I think it's been a two-way street. So it's been a very good working relationship.
What would you say, you're coming up on 3 years here in your current position, biggest accomplishments?
Well, I think we're in the administration pretty proud of numerous things. First of all, we got a transportation budget with new revenue for the first time in a generation passed. We got the Transportation Projects Commission working again that hadn't met in 6 years. We've got just seminal projects across the state going again. Highway 23 between Fond du Lac and Sheboygan, Highway 15 in the Hortonville area, Interstate 41 between Appleton and Green Bay, including the Southern Bridge that had been put off for decades, in La Crosse, the north-south corridor that had been languishing for decades because people wanted to go off alignment, go through the marsh. We listened to the people there and came up with a way to just improve the current corridors. So those big projects that had been stalled or not moving are moving forward again on regular order. But most of the dollars is going back to the locals and to us to just fix the roads that we have. And then we've increased passenger rail for the first time in a generation. We're going to have brand new service from Twin Cities, Milwaukee, Chicago, starting in 2024, and expanded the Hiawatha service from Milwaukee to Chicago, which is one of the most successful in the state. And we've invested in our ports. That's allowed us to start up the first intermodal grain export facility out of Port Milwaukee to work with Marinette Marine and Fincantieri there with the Navy contract they got for the frigates. So very important improvements to those ports. So I think across all of our different modes, we've been very, very proud of that. We've made a lot of progress in all those areas.
Looking out 5 years after spending this federal money, we don't leave any money on the table, how would you like to be able to describe Wisconsin's transportation infrastructure?
Well, I guess I would say that after years of neglect, that we have prioritized our transportation infrastructure and we're getting our infrastructure up to a point that it needs to be in the 21st century.
Okay. We will see the results of that in 5 years. Thank you, Secretary, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And thank you to our viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
This program was brought to you from the Margaret Farrell Studio.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.